I think I mentioned about a month ago, one of the great pleasures that I've had just over the last couple of years has been increasingly trying to figure out how I can mentor and empower and equip emerging leaders. And one of the ways that we've been doing that is by something we've called Preachers from the Bleachers. We recognize that we have gifted people in the congregation who God has been speaking to, and who we benefit as a church to hear from. And so over the last couple of weeks, I've been working with Harvey Lomax to prepare to preach this morning. Harvey is a dear friend to me, and I know to many of you. I appreciate his patience, his humility, his godly wisdom. Harvey's also somebody who has spent his life walking into difficult and often dangerous situations in his role as a mediator with the Salvation Army, and also formerly as an RCMP. And Harvey, you are loved, and we're blessed to have you come and speak to us this morning. Come and share what God's put on your heart, brother.
Thanks, Keith. Thank you. Well, I have to say that this really is a privilege, but Donovan, I want to give you a little bit of advice. You need to go for another contract, buddy.
Can I interrupt you for a sec?
Yeah.
If you are in kindergarten to grade 5, you may be dismissed. Sorry.
Got it? No, that's fine.
We're all good.
No problem. We're good.
Awesome.
We're good. It's great. Yeah, Donovan, you really need to get a different contract. You know, they gave me several weeks to prepare, you know, rather than just standing. I felt your pain, buddy. It's all good. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you that you provide the opportunity for us to fellowship here together in freedom. We recognize that around the world there are many people that don't have that privilege. Father, I just ask that you would use the words that I speak today to touch hearts, that your word would go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin today with two passages of scripture, both from the same chapter, Isaiah 40. And I'm just going to pick out some verses because it's a fairly lengthy chapter. But the first one is my wife Jackie's favorite passage in verse 8, and mine is verse 31. So Isaiah 40, if you have your Bible with you, you can feel free to turn there. Or for those of you that are a little bit more modern and have an electronic device, that's completely okay as well. So Isaiah 40, I'm reading verses 3 to 8 and verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, 3 to 8, and then 28 to 31. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Then verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths grow faint and weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, newsflash, I'm officially retired. It happened Wednesday this past week. I'm still on retirement leave. But this is my third miserable attempt at retirement. I tried in 1999 knowing that I would need another job, retired from the RCMP. It was short-lived. My second attempt was in 2015 when I hired somebody to take over my job, but they hired me back, and so I ended up working part-time for another 3 years. But so far, the last 3 or 4 days, nobody's approached me about working other than volunteering. So I hope that this isn't, if you'll pardon the baseball metaphor, I hope they don't call me out on the way home after 3 strikes. But anyway, grads, I want to speak to you for just a couple of minutes. When Pastor Keith mentioned that it was going to be Grad Sunday, I felt I just had to share a little bit. At the end of my sermon, I have a funny story I want to tell you, and you can wait for that. So just in case anybody planned on going to sleep. One of the biggest mistakes in my life was when I left home and joined the RCMP at 19, and I slowly began to slide away from the Lord. It just became a little bit too much work to get to church, a little bit too much work to read my Bible, and before long, I was about as far from God as you possibly can get. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a conscious choice. But I would just encourage you, as you begin your lives away from home, to, whether it's a job or as all three of you are planning on going to higher education, as Pastor Duane said, take the time for the fellowship. Make sure that you find Christian friends, whether it's InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, whether it's Campus Crusade, whatever it might be, stay in the Word, stay in fellowship, and keep your prayer life active, because otherwise you are going to begin a slide. It will happen. Don't take your spiritual life for granted. So there's my word to young people. Okay, and I say that from experience because, again, I have experience, lots of experience. Actually, I was really cool when they gave me this mic to use today. I was impressed because they have them especially for seniors. You don't see the gray. It's really nice. I like it. It's good. It's all good. I wrestled with God when Pastor Keith asked me to speak. I would far rather be in the bleachers, by the way, than being the preacher. But having said that, I don't have any Bible college education. I really wondered, what in the world can I say to people that's going to be of any value? I am a student of the Word. I'm also a student of World War II history. I love history. And interestingly enough, I came across an article in Christianity Today recently concerning a 20th century Swiss-German theologian by the name of Karl Barth. Barth, back in the early 30s, stood up to Hitler prior to World War II. He was actually fired from his professorship at the University of Bonn. He actually was a professor at 2 other universities, but at any rate, he led a group called the Confessing Church. It basically was a group of churchmen who were opposed to Hitler and what he was doing. One of the other notable people in that group was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The same article, Barth was called the most important theologian of the 20th century. Story is told in that same article about how Barth, when in 1962, on one of his visits to America, he was asked if he could summarize the essence of the millions of words that he had published. He replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That, ladies and gentlemen, sums up my theology. It's simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Today I want to combine the two verses that I've read to give you an idea of how the Bible can impact our lives in 2018. I'd like to touch on 4 principles in God's Word that are very practical for today. The first one is hiding God's Word in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I'm so incredibly thankful for having a Bible. I know the Gideons work hard at getting Bibles out to people around the world. There are many other organizations that do that as well. But we have the Bible. Most of us have multiple copies of the Bible or an electronic device that we can get the Word. People don't have that same privilege everywhere in the world. And the good part about that is God's Word stands forever. We're blessed also to have the teaching of our pastors. There's a lot of things I don't know, not having a Bible college education, and it really is neat when people preach and bring the context together, help you to understand from the Word what it was like back in Jerusalem, what it was like in Israel, and to pull that together, it really is helpful. We can also receive teaching now online, podcasts, books, devotional materials, television, radio. We are blessed, without a doubt. Some of us have the benefit of a Bible college education. Well, recently, there's the first one. I'm off key on the first one, so back here, Harv. Okay, to those who are headed off to Bible college, I congratulate you. Well done. Education is never heavy to carry around. Never. I was fortunate when Jackie and I were first married to actually have the privilege of sitting in a Bible college class. Now, most of my service in the RCMP was in small town Saskatchewan. And I worked shift work, and the chances of going to a Bible college there just were impossible. Well, when Jackie and I were married, we lived in a community that had a Bible college. And I spoke to my boss, and I said, "Boss, if I come in early or if I work late, is it okay if I take this class?" He said, "Sure, no problem." So I may be the only person in the entire universe that's sat in on a Bible college class in full RCMP uniform, complete with gun. Now, I want you to picture that, okay? Again, I was fortunate. I loved the class. The kids were kind of shocked the first time. After a while, I just was part of the woodwork, and it wasn't a big deal. But I often wondered at the end of the day how I made the marks I made in the class, and I've come to realize that probably the fact that the Bible college professor, although he was a friend, may have felt slightly intimidated with that guy that carried the gun, so maybe I got marks because of that. I don't know. I'm not really sure. At any rate, it's important to hide God's word in your heart. The way to do that is to read it daily, to pray about it and meditate on it, and then to memorize it. Although I enjoy reading my Bible every day, I'm really thankful to Pastor Mike for the challenge this year to memorize God's word, because it's great to have my Bible here, but there are times when I don't have a Bible available. And to have it hidden in your heart is really, really important. I recently had something, and I really enjoyed the Scripture typer app on the phone. It's great when you're sitting waiting in line to get into the car wash and you've got something to do rather than playing solitaire. It's a value. So I really enjoy that. But recently, I was doing another talk to a men's group, and at the very last minute, God intervened. I had wrestled for several weeks on that talk. I didn't know exactly what God wanted me to say. The morning of the talk, it all came together. It was just like that. I'm out for a walk before I went to the men's breakfast, and God dropped two verses that I'd memorized using the Scripture typer into my heart, and I got back home, and 20 minutes on the computer, bopped out this talk, and went, and it was obviously exactly what I needed to say. God really shared that with some of the guys. They came back and told me they really appreciated it. The really interesting part for me was the next morning, Sunday morning, Al Fedorek, our district superintendent, came to speak, and guess what? The words that he spoke were exactly the ones that I had spoken that morning at the men's group. It just confirmed to me that God was using that memorized scripture to help me prepare for that talk. My second point is to use God's word frequently. The writer in Hebrews said in Hebrews 5:14, "Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Now, a lot of us, including me, like to be active. We like to exercise. It's good for us. Doctors tell us that, and we feel better when we exercise. But you know what? Nobody is going to do that for you. You got to do that yourself. Sometimes it's painful. it's not easy to stay fit. In the same way, it's our job, the Word says, to feed and train ourselves. It's not the pastor's job to plug you full of information, to put the Word into your heart. It's your job. We need to be in the Word. We need to use it frequently. It's never easy. Our schedules are crazy. But you know what? We can always find time for things that we really want to do, right? We need to be in God's Word. I think back to the times when I was on the job, and I wonder what it would be like not to have my sidearm with me in a dangerous situation. Paul calls God's Word the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. And you know what? If we don't have that weapon with us, it's going to be a dangerous situation to be in. The enemy is out there. My third point is to apply it to your life. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active." When I decided to retire from the RCMP, I had one child in university and I had three in high school. So I knew that I wasn't really going to be retiring. I was just changing jobs and the government was going to pay me for it. I love that. Actually, what happened was it subsidized me. I've got another story. One morning in March of 1999, or in a week in March of 1999, I was doing my devotions, and God gave me Isaiah 40:31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint." Anyway, that particular weekend, we were away on an alpha course. I was leading an alpha course. I had a great team of people from Trailview, and we were on our weekend away in Cypress Hills, enjoying the beauty of the nature out there. One break, Ron Knox and I were out for a walk. We were walking along this high ridge. It was really beautiful scenery. Anybody that's been to Cypress Hills will easily agree with me that it's a great spot to be. So we're walking along this ridge, and all of a sudden, down the valley, I could see a bald eagle. It had its wings outstretched like this, and it wasn't doing anything. It was just had its wings stretched out, and it was circling, and it was coming up the valley. It was just an amazing sight. Ron and I both stopped and looked at it, and it was just like God spoke to me. I felt a strong impression in my spirit, "I want you to wait." And you know, I didn't have to ask any questions. I'd been praying, "Lord, what am I supposed to do when I retire? I got all these kids I got to support. And yeah, I want to be done with police work. I want to move on to the next thing. But what do I do?" Well, God said, "Wait." So from that point in March until the middle of August, when I got home from my retirement leave down on the East Coast, came back, and I had a job within a week. Brian and Ramona Dick hired me to help on the farm for a little bit. Shortly after that, I was at transition school, and I was doing contract work with the Salvation Army within a few weeks of that. And that led to the full-time job at the Salvation Army, which I just retired from. And that's been 19 years. And, you know, the interesting part for me was that there were other job opportunities. I made a lot more money, some that probably I would have maybe enjoyed, but I knew where I was supposed to be. Once that job at the Salvation Army opened up, it was just absolutely crystal clear. And God knew that in advance. I didn't. I never could have seen it coming, but He did. There's no sense in settling for second best when you can take God's best. My fourth point is sharing God's Word with others. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." A couple of weeks ago, I was rushing through my morning devotional time, and a verse that I had read hundreds of times before and I thought I knew jumped out at me. It was Proverbs 22, verse 6. My habit is to read a proverb a day, and so it was the 22nd of May, and Proverbs 22. So I read the verse as, train up a child and the way he should go, and here's my mistaken interpretation of it. This isn't what the Bible says. He, she will never leave the straight and narrow. Okay? That's not what the word says. What it says is, I bet you can all quote it with me. Train up a child and the way he should go, and what else does it say? When he's old, he won't depart from it. It was a light bulb moment. I would beat myself up about my kids that weren't really serving the Lord the way I hoped they would. It gives me a lot of practice praying for them. I remind God often about the fact that they're His before He ever loaned them to me, and it's His responsibility to bring them back. I just get to pray. At any rate, it really is, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. When I wandered away from God as a young person, I'm not proud of that, but I had parents that prayed for me, and they kept praying until I came back. And I'm thankful for that. His grace is sufficient for me because his power is made perfect in my weakness. He gently led me back. Interestingly enough, that verse wasn't for me that day. That verse was for another person. I was doing a mediation that afternoon, and there was a parent there who was a Christian, and he was extremely sad about his son's criminal behavior, and he felt he'd failed as a parent. And he actually quoted that verse to say that he had failed as a parent. I said, whoa, time out, stop the bus. Here's what God showed me this morning in my devotion. It's that when he's old, he won't depart from it. Your son is responsible for his actions. I'm thankful that you've helped him and you've encouraged him by being here today. But he's the one that has to fix it with the victim. He's the one that made the mistake. And he, as far as the mediation practice is concerned, will have to fix that. It's not your responsibility, Dad. As parents, we all make mistakes, right? We're human. So it was really interesting that God had encouraged me, but he also used that incident to encourage this father. God is good. He's always good. In review, I'd like to share again these four principles. Hide God's word in your heart. Use it frequently. Apply it in your own life and share it with others. And now I'd like to give Donovan the story that I promised earlier on. You know, I think it looks to young people like, as older people, we've got our act together and everything works perfectly for us. Well, that's not the way it is. I have a story of the biggest mistake I made as a police officer. And there's no problem. You can go ahead and laugh. This story revolves around a place where my brother Gary and I have shared. Gary Ritchie was in the RCMP as well. And in the late 90s, maybe even early 2000, Gary went to a small community in northern Saskatchewan. And I went to the same community, but it was in the early 70s. And in the early 70s, it wasn't like it was. It was kind of ritzy when Gary was there. You could drive to the community. When I was there, you could only fly, take a canoe, or take a snowmobile across the lake. The community was Stanley Mission. Now, when I flew into the community, I was fortunate enough to stay with a couple who had taken pity on me, a pilot and a teacher. And the folks were really good to me. And the lady who was the teacher asked me if I would come and speak to her school class. I love speaking to school classes. It's just something that I really enjoy doing, talking to kids, because they're so enthusiastic and they love to get involved with, especially if there's a police officer in the classroom. Well, this community is, at that point, was fairly isolated. I imagine still is, but back in that day, there was no television. They had radio. The only vehicle in the entire community was a truck that went from the dock to the co-op store to deliver supplies. The only building that was any taller than one story was the church across the Churchill River, which is a historic building in that community. And so anyway, these kids were fairly timid. And they, you know, anytime a policeman came into the settlement back in that day, that we didn't live in the settlement, like Gary actually lived there, we just dropped in, usually take a prisoner when we left, so somebody from the community is going. At any rate, long story short, I was talking to these kids and they all were just really timid and scared. Well, I went to my belt. What are the things that are on my belt? What am I going to use to show these kids, you know, what a policeman does? So here's my handcuffs. Who wants to wear my handcuffs? Well, there wasn't one kid. Usually in a grade one school class, it's me, 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 me. Well, there's not one. They're all kind of, you know, really, really reserved and scared. So, I mean, the only other person in the classroom is the teacher. So put the handcuffs on the teacher and realize about 30 seconds afterward, just before I left on the aircraft, I left my keys on my dresser at home because I knew I would never need my keys in Stanley Mission. Every member of the staff tried to pick those handcuffs. I tried to pick the handcuffs. There was no way to fix this mistake other than flying a plane in from LaRange to bail me out. I often use that story to say to young police officers underneath me, you know, there is no way you're going to make any worse mistakes than I've ever made. So please, just tell me what you've done. We can work it out together. We'll figure out a solution. You know, the good part for us as human beings is God figured out a solution for us. He knew that we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to screw up. We're all going to do things wrong. That's called sin. And that comes between us and God. And the only way that that sin could be taken care of was through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He was born on planet Earth. He lived a life as a man. He suffered and he died on Calvary. And he rose again to take care of all my mess-ups and all my screw-ups, all my sin, all the things that I'd done wrong. God told us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. In case you've walked into this building or you're listening online this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, that's the reason he came, was to take care of your mess ups. There's nothing that you've done that's bad enough that he can't forgive, and he wants you to come back to him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you for your word that we can use to tell us about Jesus, that we can learn and that we can apply to our lives. Father, I pray for that person today that's hearing this message, that has made mistakes, that's messed up, that really needs to know that they can be forgiven. And thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven me. Just the same way that that plane came to bail me out with the handcuff keys, you came to planet Earth to take care of my mistakes. Lord, I pray for that individual, and I pray that you would help them to realize that you died and rose again because you love them. You care about them. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name.